Welcome to the Stock Stories Podcast. Right. Welcome to the show. My name is Alex and I am your stock storyteller. This is the Stock Stories Podcast where we help individual investors make better investing decisions. And we mainly do that by looking at case studies of real companies as well as mental models. And that's usually what we do on the show. But today I'm so excited because we have something a little bit different for you. I was recently at FinCon 2019 over in Washington, D.C. And if you're not familiar with FinCon, it is essentially a conference where money and media meet. It's where people who love to talk about personal finance, investing, or frugality, or some kind of niche within the personal finance realm, they get to meet with each other and basically talk about how they can communicate with their audiences, how they can be better at media. And since I am a podcaster and I talk about investing, it's the perfect place for me to go to meet new people and make some connections and just learn new things. And going to FinCon has been definitely transformational to my life, particularly because of the interview that I'm about to play for you today. I got to catch up with one of my mentors. Her name is Taylor Gioma, and I actually met her at the FinCon in 2018, shortly after I had started this podcast. And after connecting with her, I learned a little bit more about some of the other ways to make money in the stock market, not just long-term buying and holding or value investing, which is really what we talk about here on this show. But I wanted to share this interview with you because I think it's really important to learn different perspectives, even if you decide not to necessarily follow the same path that I am or that Terry is or others. It's good to get different perspectives because it can just broaden your horizons and just expose you to different skill sets. And I have not really talked about this on the podcast before, but my family does trade stocks, and that is something that we do in addition to our long-term investing strategy, which is again what I talk about here on this show. But I think that both approaches can be valid, and they each have their own place and different goals. You know, they require different skill sets, and they have different goals and pros and cons associated with them. So we talk about that a little bit in this interview. But anyway, I'm just really excited to share this with you because Terry has been so impactful to my life in teaching my family new skills. And yeah, I'm just excited for you to hear it. So without further ado, let's get on with the interview with Terry Gioma. All right, welcome to the Stock Stories Podcast. My name is Alex, and I'm your host. Right now, we are recording live from the NEFI podcasting stage. And thank you to NEFI, which stands for the National Endowment for Financial Education, for sponsoring the live podcasting booth at FinCon 19. So right here, I have with me a special guest, and her name is Terry Gioma at Invest with Terry. And Terry is actually one of my mentors who helped teach me how to trade stocks. Previously, I really only thought about investing in stocks for the long term, but there's actually multiple ways that you can make money in the stock market. And so, Terry, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Alex. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It's good to see you again. We met at FinCon last year in Orlando, and that was an awesome experience.
Yes.
So, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your story and what you do?
Sure. So, once again, my name is Terry Gioma, and I teach people how to travel and to pay off debt using stocks. So usually you hear people say, oh, the only way you can invest is for the long term or for retirement. But I actually show them, well, you can actually meet some short term goals using stocks as well. And the reason why I do that is because that's my story. I was an assistant principal of a high school or of an elementary school, and I was just overwhelmed. I was tired all the time. I was stressed. I was overworked. I was just in a horrible situation, just real toxic environment, and I needed to have an exit strategy. And so I started thinking, well, what else can I do to afford to leave my job? And it was, hey, what about this stock thing that I've been interested in? If I could just make $300 a day, I can quit my job and start traveling around the world. So I did that. I started working up. Now I was able to quit my job and travel around the world using stocks.
Wow. So how long have you been doing that?
I was officially able to quit in 2017. So summer of 2017, I quit and started traveling full-time and trading. And while I was gone, the people I was with kept asking me to teach them. They were like, oh, can I take you to coffee? I want to learn how to trade. And I was like, man, all these people keep asking me to go to coffee. How about I just set up a little workshop? So I did one little class. I loved it. So it kind of snowballed from there. So I'd say I started in 2017, so probably all together about a year and a half.
Okay, awesome. And between the time of when you first learned about the possibility of trading stocks to that moment when you knew, okay, I'm ready to leave, I have this skill set down, what was that time frame look like? And walk us through that journey.
Well, okay, so I first heard about stocks in high school. Believe it or not, I was a junior going into my senior year, and I did a program in Chicago, and we had a chance to go visit the Chicago Stock Exchange. So that's when I first found out about the stock market and that it was even an idea. So going into MIT for college, I studied finance and then interned on Wall Street. So those were my first introductions to it. So I would say I've been knowing about stocks for a long time, but it wasn't until I actually probably when the housing crash happened in 2010, that's when I actually started investing for myself. Because I was like, oh my God, stocks are so cheap right now. I know there's got to be somebody out there making money on this. Like, this has got to be, this has got to be valuable. And so I would say from 2010, when I first started, till about 2016, I was just kind of dibbling and dabbling in it. And once I really said, okay, I'm going to quit, it took about a year to be consistent enough to actually quit and go full time.
Yeah, so to really focus on that skill set and practice, get your trades in, learn some lessons. Yeah. It took about a year of intense study and practice.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's great. And it's amazing because it seems like such a short period of time, really, where you can totally change your skill set and change how you invest and the results that you're seeing. That's pretty amazing.
It's true. And I tell people all the time, it doesn't take long to learn how to invest, but it takes some time to learn how to be consistent. Because you have to just get to know the stock market. Every season is a little different. Like, what do you do when the stocks are all falling, like we've had recently? Or what do you do when there's an election? What do you do when there's a random tweet? You know, like, just getting to know the market in different situations takes some time.
Right. And I think that's something that is so true from the long-term investing perspective as well. I mean, just knowing how the cycles work, knowing how different industries work, you can notice a lot of patterns that you can profit on.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, okay. So one thing I really want to talk about is, so mostly the listeners of this podcast are focused on long-term investing, may have not even ever heard of someone who successfully traded stocks before, because I know that really, prior to meeting you, I kind of thought trading was like, it was anathema to me. It was like, everybody tells you, don't ever trade. You'll lose all your money. It's the quickest way to lose money in the stock market. And in fact, many people avoid the asset class altogether because they tried trading first and lost everything. So I know in your course, because taking your course, you talk a lot about tackling the mindset, tackling the fear. So can you walk us through how do we tackle that fear and kind of open our mind up to this idea of not just only investing for the long term, but you can generate income in the short term as well?
Great question. Fear really does stop us from doing most things in life. It's not even just trading. Fear can stop us from applying for a better job, stop us from like just reaching for higher things in general. So it's no different that it would also affect us in stocks, but even more so because now you're talking about losing money. And nobody wants to lose money. I think the way to really shift the mindset is to have a really great risk management plan and then also to know how to make higher probability trades. Because when you have a plan and you know that I can take, okay, this is my 7-step trading plan. When you know that you have a plan, it's a little, like, then all of a sudden the risk kind of comes out. Because now you know, okay, I'm just going to follow instructions. I know that this usually leads to a win or has a higher probability of leading to a win. So it's that discipline that will help take away some of the fear. I think we have the most fear when we don't have discipline. When you're just, like, throwing something up against the wall and just seeing if it's going to work. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I'm about to lose everything. But if you're like, okay, I know that I've done the calculations to make sure that I'm taking high probability trades and I have risk management in here, so maybe like a stop loss or you've done calculated your quantity. Now you're like, okay, I have protection and I know that I've taken a higher probability trade. Hey, it's all of a sudden the fear kind of goes away a little bit because you had some strategy. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, thank you for explaining that. And I think that was one of the things that was a light bulb moment for me was when you got into the risk management section of what you teach. And it immediately made sense because as someone who follows a lot of the great investors, Buffett, Munger, etc., they're always talking about this margin of safety concept. So whatever stock you select at that price, you always want to have that buffer because you want your risk to reward ratio to enable you to actually make money reliably. It's not just, you're not gambling.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, even in the long-term investing sphere, so many people think that that's gambling too. And that's just not the case. It's, you know, it's been proven by many professionals.
They do, but you know what it is? When you don't have a plan, you are gambling because you're just hoping. And anytime you're just hoping that something works, like, oh, I have a gut feeling that this stock is going to rise, or I have a gut feeling that this company is going to be a good company, you're just hoping. You don't have anything to back it up. But when you've actually done the analysis, you can plot out, okay, this is my reward to risk. You've put in your, like, this is the best place to get in. This is where the stop should be. Now it's not gambling because you've done the analysis. So at least you can say, okay, this is the probability of this trade, and so no longer a gamble.
Okay. And so let's talk about that a little bit more. So my background is really in fundamental analysis. So looking at the balance sheet, let's see how the cash flow is working. What is the business really doing behind the scenes? But I know for trading, you can't really rely on that kind of information for making trading decisions as much because the time frames are just so different. It's a completely different sphere. So what is technical analysis and why is it so important for managing risk when trading?
Sure. So technical analysis is being able to look at the stock chart and determine the price. Okay, let me back up a little bit. So technical analysis is looking at charts to determine where to get in and out of a trade. And the cool thing about looking at a chart, especially a candlestick chart, is you're actually seeing where the stock price has been over time. And whenever you have like a whenever you're able to see something over time, you can determine a pattern. And then those patterns dictate what to do next. So technical analysis is just being able to look at what's happened over time, figure out the patterns in order to dictate where's the best time to get in and out of a stock. I feel like that was very technical, but
yeah, no, please, no, please. I know my audience, they want to hear the nitty gritty stuff. So
yeah.
Let's talk about that further. So the price movements, I had never really even thought about that, to be frank, prior to meeting you, to thinking about trading, because it just all seems so random. Like pulling up a stock chart of today or of a week for any particular stock, it's just zigging and zagging up and down, and there are these big jumps as well, or even gaps between different periods. And so you're saying that effectively you can find the patterns in those movements over short periods of time, right?
Yes. So I'm going to just show both of us out. Like, both of us went to MIT.
Right.
And so, like, part of our classes, and I'm not sure if you had this class, but, like, in my track, I had to do probability class and optimization. Did you have to take those classes?
No, not in the engineering, no.
Okay. Well, we had to take those classes in the, like, the Sloan MIT 15 track. So what happens is we found out that you can actually do formulas and calculate the probability of almost any occurrence. Like, you can calculate the probability that you'll get the same Uber tomorrow, or you calculate the probability that you'll end up sitting next to the same person two classes in a row. There's so many factors that you put into the formula, and you can actually calculate that. Like, I had to take that class twice. It was hard. But that, like, you can. Like, there is math behind it. And the same way that you can do math on any other situation, you can do math on stocks and use those same type of statistics. But really, the truest math is the economics. Like, and I took economics 3 years in a row, and it's really about supply and demand. But we looked at charts for that. We could figure out, well, at what price point will this product be able to actually sell? Where will there be a supply? Where will there be demand? And we calculated those things. But that's the same thing with a stock chart. If you have the price over time, you can figure out a lot of data.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. It's true. We talk on the podcast sometimes. We have mental model episodes, and one of the mental models that I think is so important for investing generally is the principle of mean reversion or probability. Certain things happen more times than others. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees in this life with anything. But we can apply logic to look at given scenarios and say, okay, based upon these set of conditions, I'm likely to have an expected result. And that's exactly what we're doing with trading, right?
Exactly. And you know what? I think people just don't equate the two. When they're thinking about science and physics and calculus, then it makes sense that people can come up with equations, but they just don't put it with their money. It's like, no, but this is the same type of thing. You can still use equations, and you can still use formulas to actually figure out what's happening in the stock market, too. But people just don't think about that.
Right. And this is real math. It's the same thing with buy and hold investing.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest investors in the world, they discount the cash flows of a business from the future all the way to the present and use those equations to actually calculate the intrinsic value. That's what Buffett does, what Munger does, and many others.
Yep.
And it's just a different set of formulas. It's a different set of tools to do something different.
Right? Yes.
So let's talk about what are some of the unique benefits and also just some other things that you have to know to trade successfully relative to, say, taking a buy and hold approach. Because I know that it's a totally different kind of operation,
mm-hmm.
similar mindset, similar tools, and you're using the same asset class. But what are some things that, say, someone who's been buying stocks for the long term that wants to get into trading, what kinds of things should they consider?
So if you're looking at something like for the long term, a lot of times you're going to look at just how the company is doing overall. One of the things that I think is a misconception is that when you're trading for the short term, you're not looking for good companies. You're looking for just companies that have cheap value that you can easily get in and out of. But actually, I think that as a trader, you should still look for good quality companies, the same way that you would as a fundamentalist. But instead of just buying and holding, you're going to trade in and out of that stock as it moves up and down. So say, for example, we're looking at Roku's been on fire lately. Say, for example, in the fundamental analysis, you're thinking, I think we're going to have a lot of cord cutting. I think that more people are going to stop doing cable. So we're going to, I think that's a great company to hold for the long term. That's true. But what you would think of as a trader is, okay, there are seasons, like when the stock market is really high, we're actually going to sell that stock so we can keep some of that profit, because we know that when there's some drops in the market, we can actually buy it back lower. So you're just thinking about, when are banks buying? When are banks selling? And if you're wondering, like, when is that, Terry? I don't know what you're talking about. So when the stock price is really high, you're going to take some profits because now it's become more expensive and you made some money. When the stock price comes down, you're actually going to buy it because now you're getting a really high quality product or company on sale. So it's just you're looking at when are the banks buying, when are the banks selling, and you're actually going to buy and sell at those times too. To answer your question?
Yes, yes.
Yep. One other thing I think that's different from long-term investors versus short-term, because I'm trying to make a profit, I want the stock price to move more on a regular basis. So one of the things I teach my students is you want things that move at least a dollar a day. As a longer-term investor, you're not really thinking so much about how much it moves. You just want it to move up.
Right.
You're like, oh, it can move 20 cents a day and I'm fine. But if you're trading it, you want it to actually move so that you can make a profit and reach your goals faster. So that's another thing I would say is a little different between short term and long term.
Okay. So you're honed in on really looking for high quality stocks, but stocks that are also volatile. And because that does have payoff, like I know that some of the stocks that you follow and that I follow as well are tech stocks. Tech stocks tend to be, especially the larger ones, great candidates for trading just because they have those kinds of characteristics. Tell us also about the capital requirements. I mean, I know with long-term investing, there's so many options. You could contribute $50 from your check every month into a fund. You could buy thousands at a time of a stock, a single stock. How much money do you need to trade successfully? And what are the nuances of that? Because I know that was something that me and my wife were thinking about when we were considering taking your course and learning that skill set.
That is the million-dollar question that everybody asks. They're like, how much do we need? So you're right. As an investor, you can start with anything. One share of like AMD is like $20. So you can just put in $20 and buy a share every day. But as a trader, you actually want to make income, so you do need a bit more money. And you want, because a couple things, you want to be able to buy enough shares to actually see some results. You also want to make sure that you have enough to overcome any trading fees that you'll incur. So every broker usually charges like $5 to get in, $5 to get out. If your fee to make the trade is $10, you need to make sure that your profits are at least $10. What I encourage people to do is I say, I would like you to have at least $1,000 of disposable income because that will allow you to make more trades. If you have $2,000, that's amazing because that will allow you to start using margin. And or it depends on what broker, but so like at the one of the brokers that we use, they give you four times your cash amount once you have $2,000 in there. So if I put in $2,000, I have buying power of $8,000. Now I can really start making money because I can actually afford more shares. So I'm still talking about how much you need. Everyone's gonna have to pick their own price, but I'm gonna give you some information. If you are trading more than 3-day trades a week, they will designate you as an active day trader. Active day traders do have to maintain $25,000 in their account. I get a lot of people that get really afraid about that. Well, Terry, I don't have $25,000, so I can't take your class. I can't learn how to trade. But the truth is, it's not really, most people will not be day trading on a regular basis. Because if you're getting in when the banks are buying and you're selling where the banks are selling, a lot of times that takes time. That may take a day or two. That may even take a week for you to reach your goals. So a lot of times you actually be swing trading, but you just want the option to, if there's a big spike today and it does reach your goals fast, that you can sell. So I do want to put that caveat out there. If you are doing more than 3-day trades a week, you will have to have more money in your account. But most people end up being swing traders.
Right. And can you explain for the audience, what is swing trading exactly? So how long are you holding these stocks?
Okay. sure. So if I buy a share today and I actually sell that same share the same day, that's a day trade. But if I buy the share today and I sell it tomorrow or within any time after tomorrow, it's a swing trade. Usually people characterize a swing trade as anything less than a year. Then it's a swing trade. But I honestly think usually swing traders are staying in a couple weeks to a month.
Right.
They're usually still trading more actively, but they're just not trading every day.
Got it. And it kind of makes sense, too, that that's the time frame generally because based on the percentage increases that you're expecting to see for the types of stocks that you're trading, it has to be worth it over a certain period of time to meet your goal, consistent goal, right? So, and yeah, that's one thing that we found trading certain stocks. that we experimented with, it just didn't work out because the payoff was, you know, weeks later for just a little bit of profit.
Yeah.
So time is a factor too.
It definitely is. I would also say, I usually tell people that they should try to make 1% of their cash amount a day. And that can, you can also add that together and say, okay, well, that's 5% a week of your cash amount. But if you're trying to figure out, well, how much do I need to make a certain goal, you can say, okay, my cash divided by 0.01 will tell me how much I need. So, for example, say I'm trying to make $100 a day. I would need $10,000 in my account to make $100 a day. If I was trying to make $200, I'd want $20,000. So that's kind of another little formula you can use to say how much money would I need to actually make my daily goals.
Yeah, and frankly, that's, to me, the incredible part of it all is the math behind it. Your rate of return for actively trading has the potential to just be so much higher than, frankly, investing in the long term, although that has its own advantages. But so what is the limit to this? Is there a scalability level to this? So if you work your way up to 100,000, a million, what are the natural limits of the market to where you can go with trading?
So what's really crazy is, so I told you, I usually say that your profit, your daily profit's 1% of your cash amount. But what I've learned is that as I started becoming a better and better trader, my percentages went up. So I've, like, one of my sweet spots is trading with about $30,000. But I was consistently seeing gains of $1,000 or more. Whereas, remember, I, like, 1% of that would only be $300 a day. But I was seeing, like, $3,000, $6,000. So it really depends. As you become a better trader, your income potential is unlimited. And then more recently, like, I moved my account even higher. I said, you know what? I'm going to try putting, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this on a podcast. But I was like, let me try putting $250,000 in. And that gives you a margin of $1 million.
Wow.
I was like, okay, let's see what I could do. I didn't have the whole $250,000 in, but like in one morning I made $20,000. And I was like, oh shoot, this is real.
Hold up, pause real quick. I think we need to talk about this. So, are you telling me you made $20,000 in a single trade?
Actually, I'm telling you, on an Uber ride to FinCon, I made over $21,000.
Wow.
And then came and went into sessions and had fun with everybody.
Oh my gosh. Well, congratulations on that. That's incredible.
Thank you.
That's
so
incredible.
Much.
Thanks. So, okay. So, thank you for bringing it home for us, because at a certain level, I think, again, back to the mindset, it's not just about one idea or one path. There are many paths. And even within those paths, there are different levels of scalability, different levels of potential. And I think one of the beautiful things that you're demonstrating, Terry, is that you can start from a certain place, build a skill set, really hone in on it and truly master it, and get to the level where you're making an entire someone's salary in a single morning.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the beauty of the stock market. It's the beauty of investing, is that you can really do that. So how long did it take for you to go from 2017, quitting your job, going full time as a trader to, I guess today, I guess that would be what, 2 years?
2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
2 years.
Great.
And I would say people should give themselves that whole 2 years. Like, give yourself 1 year to really learn, and then give yourself another year to master consistency. And also, really, it's mastering your emotions. Because the hardest part about trading is not so much knowing what to do, it's actually doing it. Because
right.
Your emotions are going to be afraid, you're going to get scared. So mastering your emotions and your mindset to actually stick with the plan, even when it doesn't look like it's going to work. Like, you're going to be selling when everybody else is saying buy. You know, when the stock is moving up, that's when you're selling. And then when the stocks are crashing and it looks like everything is going down, that's when you're going to be buying because you're getting things on sale. But the emotions behind that, that's the part you have to master.
Oh, yeah, and I can definitely second that. I mean, some of our early trades, which were really just a few months ago, losing hundreds of dollars, it's scary. It's scary. But then you also make hundreds of dollars, even, you know, even more. So there's a lot a lot of emotion there. And I think that's really great that you're so focused on mindset, because that is the bedrock, that's the foundation of how you're able to be successful.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So Terry, what's next for you? You're trading. I know you're back here at FinCon again this year. I know you're walking your talk. You're trading and traveling. I know you're always on the go. So what's next for you?
My next thing is I want to actually start being in more publications. So I'm going to speak in San Diego at a Women Venture Capitalist Conference. So publications and just speaking. I want people to see me live. I want to see people live. So I think that's probably next. Just doing more events where I can see people, feel people, more podcasts like this where I can actually spread the awareness and word that, hey, you can use stocks for short-term goals. Because not a lot of people know that. So just spreading the message more. And I have a new class coming up. We're opening enrollment for my course for the fall cohort. So, yeah, just teaching more students, helping them, and spreading the word.
Great. Well, so about this course, tell everyone where they can find you and where they can learn more about that.
Sure. If you go to my website, itradeandtravel.com, then you can see more about the course and sign up for my email list where you'll get more information and you'll get access to the course. Also, I'm on Instagram at I'm an Investor. It looks like Imani Investor, so everybody calls me Imani, which I'm actually fine with, because now Imani means faith, so I'm like, faith investor. Yeah, I like that. Oh, yeah, that's good. But it really is supposed to be I'm an Investor.
Right,
so
right.
So find me on Instagram or on Facebook. I'm at Invest with Terry.
All right. Terry Ijeoma. Terry, thank you so much for coming on the mic. Believe it or not, you're actually the first interview for my podcast. So I'm so grateful that you're here, that we could reconnect. And yeah,
yay.
I know we'll be talking again soon.
I love you and your wife. You are just amazing. I just love you guys. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. Thank you so much for listening to my interview with my friend and mentor, Terry. I hope you really enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And I hope that maybe you learned something too. I definitely learned a few things, even just talking with her then, even as someone who's been her student, there's always something new to learn in any conversation. So just to recap a little bit, trading and investing are two different things, but they both utilize the stock market to either generate income or capital gains. So as we talk about on the show, when you invest in a stock for the long term or even the medium term, you're really buying it based on the fundamentals of the business. And that's what we like to spend so much time on this podcast focusing on, looking at earnings, looking at sales, looking at things like return on equity. These all matter so much in the long run to how a business is valued and what the intrinsic value of that investment really is. But when we're talking about the short term, those things, frankly, they don't really matter. Imagine that you're trading a stock and you're trading it over, say, a week-long basis or a few days even. The earnings may or may not have an impact, unless it's earnings season, in which case they probably will have a huge impact. Usually stocks swing significantly the day that earnings are released for the quarter. But that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the psychology. And that does actually play into this example of earnings season. When you have a stock or a business where there's a certain sentiment, there's a certain feeling, there's fear in the market, or there's greed in the market, you can actually chart that out through technical analysis. And you can actually look at a candlestick chart, and which is a form of a stock chart, and you can figure out when things are most likely to rise or fall based on certain indicators. And this is really just statistics, like Terry mentioned. It's understanding psychology by looking at short-term patterns. And at the end of the day, all of this is pattern recognition, right? Even the things that we talk about, during the show normally, it's kind of like pattern recognition when you think about it. I'm always talking about having strong cash flows, having strong top line growth, having predictable streams of earnings and revenue and this competitive advantage. You start adding all these pieces together and you have a great business. And if that great business is trading at a multiple lower than it historically is or lower than its peers in the industry, then those are signs pointing you to an undervalued stock, right? So that's pattern recognition. You're putting together these different variables to come to a conclusion. And it's the same thing with trading, although trading has a very different mindset that you need to apply to it. I think in order to be successful, there are a lot of similarities with pattern recognition, with the fact that you're using the same mechanism in different ways. So fundamental analysis versus technical analysis, they are both important and they can help you achieve different goals. Trading is definitely much better for income generation, I think, just because you can take advantage of investor psychology and arbitrage that over a much shorter period of time. Whereas long-term investing, you're really waiting for the market to recognize the value that you've identified ahead of time. And sometimes that can take months or years to materialize. But the benefit with that is you can literally make a decision once, and then you can have those capital gains build for years and years, or that dividend income build for years and years. So passive income without you having to do anything. Whereas trading is much more active. It is definitely not for everybody. I want to be very clear about that. However, I think that it can be right for many people who are interested in the stock market and want to learn a new skill. So if you are interested in that, I definitely encourage you to check out Terry and her content, her courses, her website. I definitely have, and it's been great for my family. So if you're interested, go and check out investwithterry.com, or as she said, she's on Instagram at I'm an investor, and check out her content. Thank you so much for listening to the Stock Stories podcast. This has been another episode. As always, if you want to connect with me, you can reach out via email at alex@stockstoriespodcast.com, or I'm also on Instagram too at stockstories1, that's stock stories and the number one. All right, we'll see you next week. The information presented here on Stock Stories is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. You and you alone are responsible for your investment and financial decisions. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, or financial advisor that can analyze your specific situation in the context of your goals and circumstances.